Welcome. Today, we're discussing an interesting content about a real-life retirement case study. A couple in their early 50s with $1.7 million asking the ultimate question, can we retire today?
Ooh, this is the question everyone wants to know the answer to. So $1.7 million, they must be in a great spot. What's the breakdown?
It's a fantastic starting point. So we've got John, who's 52, and Jane, who's 49. Their investments are actually $1.73 million, mostly in a 401k with a decent-sized Roth portion. They also own their home, worth about $1.1 million, with a small $210,000 mortgage left.
Wow, okay, they've clearly done a great job saving, and they're young. So what's their dream retirement look like? What are they hoping for?
They were ready to retire yesterday. They don't hate their jobs, but if they could stop working, they would. Their dream was to spend $10,000 a month, after taxes and adjusted for inflation.
$120,000 a year, post-tax. That's a solid number. What else?
On top of that, they wanted another $25,000 a year just for vacations. You know, flying first class, doing the fun stuff. Plus, a budget for new cars down the line. The initial plan was for him to retire at 60 and her at 55.
Okay, so that's the goal. With their savings, it seems achievable. What's the verdict? Are they on track?
Well, here's where it gets interesting. If they stick to that plan, work until 60, and spend that amount, their projection shows them ending up with about $1 million by age 93. It looks okay on the surface, but...
There's always a but.
There is. The first thing that jumped out was they didn't account for healthcare. If they retire early, they have to cover their own insurance until Medicare kicks in, and that can be a huge expense.
Oh, that's such an easy thing to overlook. How much of a difference does that make?
A massive one. Just plugging in a conservative $15,000 a year for healthcare dropped their final portfolio value by over $400,000. Suddenly, things are looking pretty tight.
Yikes. Okay, so that's problem number one. You said first thing, so I'm guessing there's more?
You got it. The bigger issue, and this is what really worries me from a strategic standpoint, is their account structure. Almost everything is in a 401k. They have no regular brokerage account.
Hold on. Wait a second. I thought the advice was always, always, always max out your 401k. Isn't having a lot of money in there a good thing?
It is, to a point, but it creates a tax problem. Think of it this way. Every single dollar they pull from that 401k is taxed as ordinary income, just like a paycheck. There's no flexibility.
Okay, I think I see. So what's the alternative? Why is a brokerage account the superhero account, as the content creator calls it?
Because of capital gains. With a brokerage account, you only pay tax on the growth, not the money you initially put in. And that tax, the capital gains rate, is way, way lower than the ordinary income rate. This gives them options to manage their taxable income, which could even help them qualify for healthcare subsidies.
So you're saying they might have actually saved too much in their 401k? That feels so counterintuitive.
It does. And the advice might be for them to stop maxing it out and build that brokerage account instead. It's about creating tax diversification. Plus, if they wanted to retire before 55, they couldn't even touch that 401k money without huge penalties.
Right, unless they use that rule of 55 trick you mentioned, where you can access it penalty-free if you retire in the year you turn 55.
Exactly. A great pro tip, but it doesn't help if Jane wants to retire at 52. So with these issues, working till 60 and spending their dream amount is cutting it way too close. Their withdrawal rate would be like 7, 8, even 9% in some years. That's just not sustainable.
Okay, so what are their options? You can't just tell them, sorry, your plan is broken. What's the next step?
Well, option one is the obvious one. Hey guys, just work until you're 65. How do you think that went over?
Terrible. They said they wanted to retire yesterday. They probably fire you on the spot for even suggesting it.
You nailed it. So then I show them the other extreme. What if you retired like tomorrow,
but kept your dream spending. The model shows they'd run out of money by age 62.
So you showed them two impossible scenarios, one they'd hate emotionally, and one that's a financial disaster. This seems kind of mean.
Ha! It's all about framing the choice, because there's one big lever they have complete control over. How much they spend. And this is the part that will surprise you.
Okay, I'm ready. What's the magic solution?
What if they retired today, but instead of spending $10,000 a month, they spent $5,000 a month?
$5,000? So they cut their spending in half. I mean, they can't live their dream retirement on that, can they? What does the plan look like then?
It looks successful. If they spend $60,000 a year, plus keep that $25,000 for vacations for the first 10 years, they can theoretically retire right now. With $1.7 million, their assets would actually still end at about $1.4 million by the end of their plan.
Get out of here. Really? Just by changing that one number? So, they actually can retire today. They just have to redefine what retirement looks like for them.
That is the entire takeaway. It's a choice. And it's so personal. Some people would hear that and say, $145,000 a year? I'd be bored. Others would say, I would gladly live on $85,000 a year if it means I never have to go back to my job again.
That's incredible. It puts all the power back in their hands. It's not a yes or no answer. It's a what do you value more answer. Time or a higher spending budget.
Precisely. The goal isn't just to run the numbers. It's to give them clarity, to show them the trade-offs. They went from thinking they were maybe on track to knowing they have a viable option to retire right now if they're willing to make an adjustment. That's a powerful shift in perspective.
It really is. It moves the conversation from fear and uncertainty to one of options and empowerment. What an amazing case study.
Absolutely. It shows that financial planning is so much more than spreadsheets. It's about aligning your money with the life you truly want to live. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Goodbye.